Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another old-fashioned Christ-honoring gospel program. Now friends, today I'm going to use as my text a portion of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and I'll begin reading at verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now friends, today I want to talk to you about a term which is quite often used and yet seldom understood. And that word is converted or conversion. What do we mean by conversion? Conversion, as used scripturally, simply means turning to God. Paul makes that quite clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Tell me, my friend, have you ever been converted? You know, the Lord tells us here in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 18, except ye be converted, then you'll never see the kingdom of God. Peter tells us over in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Friend, listen, you can't get into heaven with even one sin. No, my friend, those sins must be blotted out. And they can only be put away eternally by faith in the finished work of Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, we have our own ideas about things. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And that's the problem with people today. They don't understand that they've got to be converted. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6, here's what we read. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. We have our own ideas about things. One person says, I believe you can get to heaven by doing this. Another says, I believe you can get to heaven by doing that. Friend, listen, it doesn't make any difference what you and I think or what we say. It's what does the Word of God say? In Isaiah 55 and verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Again, in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 11, here's what God says. As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? Friend, the bottom line is simply this. You'll either turn or you'll burn. Yes, you'll either be converted, experience true conversion, scriptural conversion, or else you'll wail and weep down in the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. There's got to be a turning around, 180 degrees. Paul tells us over there in Acts chapter 26, where he's giving his testimony to King Agrippa. In verse 18, here's what he says. He says, I've been sent forth to the Gentiles. What for? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Isn't that clear? Turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Friend, he's the same man that tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My friend, I believe there are some listening in today, and you've been blinded by the enemy of your soul, the devil. You need to be converted. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yes, only the truly converted can praise the Lord today. Yes, we can thank God for sending his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this sin-cursed earth to go all the way to Calvary and there shed that precious blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. And friend, I'll tell you something else. If you have been converted, I say if you've truly been converted, you don't do what once you did. You don't go where once you went. You don't say what once you said. No, my friend, I read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You out in Radio Land today who profess to be Christians, has there been that great change in your life? Has there, my friend? Do you love to read the Word of God and to pray and to witness and testify to the unsaved regarding what God has done for you? Do you really love the Lord, my friend? Are you an out-and-out Christian? Ah, my friend, listen. Salvation is not a license to sin. I've known some Christians down through the years who, after they were professedly converted, were doing terrible things, things they wouldn't have thought of doing before they professed to be saved. Friend, there's something wrong with that kind of salvation. You should be a new creature in Christ. And remember this, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Yes, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now then, what conversion is not? Do you know, my friend, what conversion isn't? It's one thing to know what conversion is, but a lot of people have the wrong idea about it. What conversion is not? It is not reformation. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not obeying some religious ritual or resolutions. It's not some so-called righteous living. It's not reading the Bible and saying your prayers, no, my friend, or trying to keep the golden rule and the Ten Commandments. You know, when I meet people from day to day who profess to be converted, and I ask them how they were converted, many of them have said, well, I was baptized. Ah, listen, my friend, listen. There are millions of souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. There isn't one verse in the Word of God that says you can get to heaven by being baptized. Well, look at it logically, apart from scripturally. If you and I could get to heaven by being baptized, then tell me, friend, why did Jesus Christ come from heaven? Why did he live a sinless life on earth? Why did he go all the way to Calvary's cross and suffer there, the just for the unjust? Why did he do all that if you and I could get to heaven or be converted by being baptized? No, my friend, and it's not going to the altar either. Some of you may be listening in today, and you profess to be converted because you went forward to the altar. Friend, there isn't one verse in the Bible that says you can be converted by going to the altar. No, my friend. Again, I remind you, there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they got to the altar, but they didn't get to Jesus Christ. Friend, have you been saved? Have you been just like a little child? Exercise simple childlike faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Don't have faith in what you've done, my friend. For all our righteousnesses and religious living in the sight of a holy God is as a filthy rag, as we're told in Isaiah 64 and 6. Now then, who should be converted? Who should be converted? Well, in Romans 3, 22 and 23 we read, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, in Romans 11 and 32, God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Why? So that he might have mercy upon all. In 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Again, in 2 Timothy 2 and 4, God would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Who should be converted? All. A-L-L. The rich, the poor, the old and the young, the Catholic, the Protestant, the Jew, the Muslim, Yes, the Irish, the Scotch, and the Pole. We're all sinners. We all need to be saved or be converted to Christ. Now, when should sinners be converted? Well, in Job 22 and verse 21, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. Acquaint now, not tomorrow. Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. In Acts 17 and verse 30, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Friend, it's now, not tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, listen. You may never have another opportunity to be converted. So why not have simple childlike faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary's cross? That most memorable of all verses, John 3 and 16. Listen to it. This is John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, would you like to have everlasting life beginning today? Well, you can have it. You can have it with the full assurance of this Bible, the book that I hold in my hand, that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll be as sure of heaven as though you were already there. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, look away to Calvary. There see the Lord Jesus Christ dying for you and shedding that precious blood which alone cleanseth from all sin. Friend, I plead with you in love for your soul and in view of eternity to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Because, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow in thy presence today at the close of another radio broadcast to thank thee for extending the day of grace so that others might hear the gospel of thy grace found in thy Son alone. We pray, our God, that even now thy Holy Spirit may be working in the hearts and souls of those who are listening in still unsaved. Pluck them as brands from the burning. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. If you'd like to have some gospel tracts or other literature, I'll send it to you absolutely free, postpaid, and without any obligation whatsoever. You just write to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, PA, 15134. And now to our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ.